Amen. Ah, that is good. And I got a whole glass to preach through tonight. Amen. I haven't had a chance to really tell you much about myself. I wasn't raised in a Pentecostal church. In fact, when I was 12 years old, I was the first one in my immediate family to receive the Holy Ghost. My dad was an alcoholic. My mother didn't know much about God. They started taking me to a Pentecostal church, and so we started attending, and I received the Holy Ghost at a young age of 12. I started preaching about 3 months later, 13 years of age. We have the tape. We have the tape of me preaching my first sermon, and I decided not to beat around the bush. I got to the real meat of the matter, preached my first message right out of Revelation. And the title of my sermon was Martyrs. And I preached for 45 minutes, believe it or not. Now, I only had 2 or 3 minutes of content. But and back then, my voice was a lot higher. And I didn't have all the vernacular, vocabulary down right, pronunciations. For instance, Revelation 21 and 5. And the tabernacle of God is with men. Tabernacle. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's synonymous with tabernacle. In Revelation 21 and 8, and all idolaters shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire. That's idolaters, and some of you are scratching your head. You don't even know what that is. Now we have it on tape. I was preaching along. I said, and there was Shadrach and Meshach, and one of them had a billy goat. Then I remember while I was preaching, I said, what would you do if the... I had that... If the Antichrist came in here right now and held a machine gun to your head. Now, folks, I feel the anointment. And I hit that pulpit. I can still feel that pinky finger tingling. Now, if you don't know what anointment is, that's what preacher... That's what we rub on ourselves before we come in to deliver the word of God. But I said all that to say that God taught me at a very young age that it wasn't about heritage, it was about hunger. And if you're hungry for God, it doesn't matter what your environment has been. It doesn't matter what your last name is, your pedigree. All that makes no difference to God. He is not a respecter of persons, but he is an inspector of prayer. And he looks for those who are seeking him. Amen. Amen. And I'm thankful to have been in the ministry. I know it may not seem that, but I have been preaching almost 24 years and have been privileged to be a part of some great churches and revivals. And I'm thankful to be here in the perfect timing of the Holy Ghost. Now, we're just getting introduced this weekend, but I don't go places just to preach. I'm not looking for a paycheck. If I want a paycheck, I'll go back to roofing. But I go where God sends me. And the schedule works out that way. And I feel like I'm here in the perfect timing of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. And I thank God for your pastor and his family. I've already feel such a kinship with them. And, you know, there's relationships that you start to build over the years. You wonder, where have they been all my life? Why are we just now getting introduced? But God knows, and there are convergences that take place in ministries. And I tell you, I believe that God calls prophets and evangelists and teachers to a church just like he does a pastor. Amen. And that's why I don't take lightly. I've had people come to me and say, Brotherhood, when you gonna settle down and pastor? I've said, I've already done that. I had a fine church, paid off, big gymnasium, growing, Bible studies going, people praying through. But God called me to do what I'm doing. And I've had people say, well, when you gonna settle down and pastor? Well, when you gonna start evangelizing? because I don't allow this office to be diminished. And I don't take it lightly. When I get on that plane and leave my family for a few days, I'm doing it because it is a calling. And it's an office that I reside in. I'm not evangelizing looking for a church. This isn't a part-time build up, learn how to do something process. So I take seriously. And when that's why if the Lord gives me a word, I'm going to give it, whether it brings favor of man or not. Because I remember what God did for me when he reached down in a little poorhouse on 963 Fraser Circle in Memphis, Tennessee, and called me and touched me. They had no reason to do that, but he did. And I'm glad to be in the kingdom of God. And I learned a long time ago, a man that thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing deceiveth himself. Not only that, I married a good wife that can pop that big head bubble in a moment. I go home, take out the trash, honey. And I have a picture of my wife and kids on my computer screen. It's a screensaver. And if you want to take a look at them, you can go by and see how lucky I am. Amen. Let's lift our hands to the Lord for a moment. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, everybody. Okay. Thank God. I'm going to have this all messed up for you. Trying to figure out if I should stand or sit. Will this go down? Okay. All right. Well, if I fall off the chair, y'all just worship God. Amen. This is a song the Lord gave me. Praise God. A few weeks ago, and I felt led to sing it tonight.
From within, you try to survive on your own, but how can you go on? You shed a tear alone in the night, a hungry soul searching for the light. When will it end? When will the suffering end? Remember every miracle needs a place to begin. So hang on, my friend, let it start within. So let it begin in me. Lord, I believe. the fevered brow. The sickness is too strong. The doctor says you won't live very long. There's still so much you want to do. How will your family survive without you? You shake your head, you question why. Lord, I'm too young, much too young to die. Is there a way that you could stop the rain? Just remember every miracle needs a place to begin. So hang on, my friend, let it start within. So let it begin in me. Lord, I believe. He left you on the road of shame. Just another love gone, just another name. You don't think you'll find love again. You don't think you'll ever trust again. But remember, every miracle needs a place to begin. So hang on, my friend, let it start within. So let it begin in me. Lord, I believe.
Praise God. Let's worship the Lord again. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I'm going to read a passage from 1 Samuel 17. I remember about 10 years ago, well, actually 14 years ago, my wife and I had just been married about 5 days. My mother left my dad, and it was a very trying time for our whole family. My dad had been an alcoholic for a number of years, did things under the influence of that demon that did irreparable damage. And we tried diligently to get him to reconcile. It just didn't work. So I remember in the summer of 94 when my mother called me to tell me that she was getting remarried, I was devastated. I was angry. It caused friction between us for a number of weeks. And basically, to make a long story short, in the spring of 2000, I was preaching in Pensacola, Florida. And rather than flying back home, as is my custom to do every week, I drove to Memphis and I baptized my stepfather in the name of Jesus. And he came, when he came out of the water, he's just dripping, you know, and he talking in tongues, and he'd stop and he'd say, "I've been looking for this my whole life." And he'd talk in tongues some more, and "I've been looking for this my whole life." And my mother, who prayed back through, is now teaching a Sunday school class in a Pentecostal church. Now, it gets weirder than that. My dad got remarried a couple of years ago, November of 2002. He remarried his first wife. See, my mother was a second. I've got three brothers and a sister from his first marriage. He remarried his first wife. Her husband, second, had died of a massive heart attack at the breakfast table at the young age of 54. So they're remarried. I felt like I was in some cosmic soap opera. What you laughing for? You ain't supposed to know what that is. I was like walking around for days. Who am I? But they called me about 9 months ago and told me, "Sarah," that's her name, "got the Holy Ghost tonight. Got baptized in Jesus' name." Many, many years of the journey, but I have watched God do it time and again. Take the debris of a man or woman's desperation and build a miracle out of it. You may not know what to do with your clutter, but God does. You may not know what to do with the wreckage, but God can build a revival out of it. You may not know what to do with your trouble, but your trouble today is your testimony tomorrow. That's why you have to endure. Don't get out of the race. Don't stop running. Don't throw in the towel. Don't shrug your shoulders like a skeptic, cynical, loss of faith doubter. But rise up in your spirit and say, "I know God can see me through. I know He can build a miracle out of this mess." Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Nothing is impossible with God. And don't tell God that He can't use the fragments of the past. What do you think Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem with? The same charred stones that were burned down by the Babylonian army 7 decades earlier. How does Paul in Acts 28 get to the island of Melita? It's on the broken fragment of a ship that's been wrecked. You don't know what God can do with the broken pieces of your life. But if you give it to Him, what's been reserved for the junkyard, Jesus can transform it into a testimony that will shake the world. Praise God. Old ex-drug addicts, folks that got their minds half fried, become some of the greatest soul winners, and the devil is standing somewhere in a darkened corner of his trembling empire going, "I thought I had them. I thought they were another trophy in my case. I thought they were another statistic on my journal of victories, but I've lost them. Look at what they're doing for the kingdom of God." Praise God. I'm talking about folks that have been through terrible relationship problems, divorces, those folks that have been strung out on drugs, alcoholics, folks that have gone bankrupt, lost everything you've had, lost your mind. Maybe you've been in a psyche ward somewhere, but you're here tonight in your right mind because of the miracle grace and the mercy of a loving God that when everybody else gave up on you, God stepped on the scene and said, "I'm going to make a miracle out of them. I'm going to pull them out of the rough-hewn mountains of sin. I'm going to polish them up. They're going to shine a diamond of deliverance to this world." Praise God. Quickly, 1 Samuel. First Samuel 17. We'll start reading about verse number 41. And the Philistine came and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. It's kind of like a trinity, isn't it? Sword, spear, shield. I didn't say a trinity of what. I was just using the word. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Now, do I want sword, shield, spear of religion? Do I want the name that works? This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it. I want to minister. You're just a stone's throw from victory. Just a stone's throw from victory. Let's lift our hands. Thank you, Jesus, for your anointing. Bless the word. Well, it's already blessed. Bless the preacher preaching the word. Bless the congregation hearing the word. Let there be more than just a sermon that goes forth tonight. Let there be a prophetic tone, God, that will set somebody on the path to victory tonight. In the name of Jesus. Businesses that will turn this week in the name of Jesus. Financial dilemmas that will be straightened out by the hand of God this week in the name of Jesus. Ill reports of doctors that will be rearranged and changed by the hand of God this week in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands one more time. You may be seated. Praise God. Sometimes folks don't realize it, but they're just one more prayer from the fulfillment of a promise. Don't shortchange yourself now. Don't stop short of the miracle now. You could be just one more foot from that fire in God that you've been waiting for. One more intercession from that breakthrough in the supernatural that seems to this point to have been slippery and unattainable. But you could be just that far, just a stone's throw from victory. Let's magnify the Lord in Jesus' name. Praise God. Now I can imagine old David. He's got to be my favorite character besides Jesus in the Bible. Old David out there on that backside, keeping the sheep, sitting on a soft patch of grass. All of the sheep huddled around him, some of them looking tired. He's got his harp cradled on his lap, and he runs his callus-tipped fingers over the strings. The mellifluous honey sounds go up toward heaven. It's so beautiful. The sky is perfectly stained blue, not a cloud to be seen, the breeze gently blowing. I mean, it's perfect ambience for a prophetic psalm. And maybe he begins to sing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everybody say strum. He probably had a little more soul than that. I kind of think he was like
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
And all the sheep went by.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Hey,
I'm telling you, you could just seem just lost. David was just an Old Testament Pentecostal. He just was out of his mind, worshiping God. He didn't even hear his daddy calling him. David,
yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow.
Then he kind of backed up and said, no, it should be, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Wait a minute. Shh.
David.
Oh, I wonder how long he's been calling me. He hopped up as fast as he could, jumped over the creek, ran up back behind the house, hopped over the fence, ran up the creaking steps of the porch. Yeah, Daddy, what you want? You've been singing again. Yeah, Daddy, yeah. You want to hear it? No. We ain't got time right now. Your mama's made some lunch for your brothers. Want you to go down and see how they're doing at the battle. Want you to take, we got some grilled cheese sandwiches. It's bread and cheese for you Bible purists. And parched corn, which is corn on the cob. So. I want you to just go to, oh, can't you just see David with his fidgety energy? I get to go to the battle. Am I going to get to kill some Philistines? No, son. You're just going to go down, give them the lunch, see how they're doing, and come home, get your chores finished. Okay, Dad. All right. So he puts his harp in a big hollow log behind the shed. He gets the bread and the cheese and the corn and his servant, and they hop on the carriage and off they go, bouncing. And then when they get just a few hundred yards, he can see his brothers where they're camped out. Then just a few paces, he pulls on the reins. The carriage rocks back and forth just a bit till it comes to a halt. He hops off, runs around the back, tells his servant, stay here with the carriage. I'm going to take the grilled cheese sandwiches over to my brothers and see how they're doing. No problem. So off he goes. Hey, Eliab, how's it going, brother? Man, it's good to Shama. What's happening, man? Abinadab. I didn't even hardly recognize you. The beard's grown out so long. And the hairdo. I mean, I can tell we're brothers. I mean, come on. Look at this. It's awesome, man. What's that smell? You guys ain't taking a bath in a while. How come? Well, David, you'll find out in a few moments. I don't understand. And all of a sudden, you know, while he's exchanging pleasantries with his brothers and hugging, and Mama wanted me to give you a kiss, but I'll let her do that. All of a sudden, his brothers disappear. He thought the Old Testament rapture had taken place. Eliab? Benadab? Shama? Where'd you guys go? All of a sudden, he heard this booming sound in the distance. Sounded like thunder. He shades his eyes, knowing he thought he heard the weatherman's report right today. There was no forecast of rain. Not a cloud in the sky, but there's thunder and sounds anyway. And all of a sudden, he looks down in the valley. He ain't ever seen a man that big in his life. It looked like his shoulders measured the entire horizon. That guy walking down, every time he took a step, it dislodged dozens of pebbles that rolled down in front of him. And when he got down into the valley, it still looked like he was standing up on the mountain. And when he started to speak, he had that big, bassy, resonating voice that was as intimidating as 15 lions roaring right on top of you. Hey, Israel! Send me a champion. By the time he got up there, what David was, it was just peon, 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 peon. But I'm going to tell you something. It was the electricity of El Shaddai running through the veins of David. Something got on him. Before he even knew what hit him, it was like a voltage of righteous indignation. He jumped up on the jagged edge of that rock. He took his pulpit and he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he can defy the armies of the living God like this?" He's red in the face, spittle going everywhere, veins bulging out of the side of his head, and he sounds 15 years older than what he is. All of a sudden, he feels somebody tugging on his shirt behind him. "David, what are you doing?" "I'm telling you, I'm ready to go fight him right now. I thought I was just bringing grilled cheese sandwiches and parched corn, but God sent me here for another reason. I'm going past the obvious. I'm stepping into the eternal. I'm going past the visible and the flesh. I'm in the sovereign realm of God now. God's getting ready to use me in a way that I've never been used before. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go, brothers. Don't get mad at me. Don't be jealous of me. Don't get hurt feelings. Don't be offended. But I'm ready to go." Be seated for a moment. So he starts asking questions. Now you can see him now. He's pacing back and forth. "Okay, I want to know what will be done for the man that'll go down and fight that big old boy. Look how ugly he is anyway. Got a big old hook nose and a scar down the side of his cheek. What are you guys afraid of him for?" "Well, let's see. You know, you probably got some nearby scribe. His family's going to have all their debts paid off. And he's going to get some new Armani suits. And he gets to marry the king's daughter." "Say again?" "I said he's going to..." "Not that part. Armani suits? No, not that one. Going to get to marry the king's daughter?" "Yeah, that one. Do you happen to have a picture?" "No." "If I'm going to go down here and fight this giant, I want to make sure." That's not what he said. That's what you and I would have said, but that's not what he said. He had his mind right. He said, "You go tell the king I'm willing to go fight the giant." Now his brothers are jealous, and we won't go into that part of the story. Is there not a cause? We fast forward to the next scene. Go into the royal tent of Saul. He's sitting on his high back throne, slouched down like this. He looks like he's lost his best friend, because he has. Big old dark circles under his eyes, his cheeks pulled by the gravity of depression. All of his advisors look the same way. They all look like they have had siphoned out of them every bit of life. And then here comes a soldier with David. King, we have a young man here that says he's willing to go fight the giant."
"Really? Where is he?"
"He's standing right here."
"Oh, really?
I don't see him." "He's standing right beside me, King."
"You mean that boy right there with his muscles drooping the wrong way?" "Hey, son, how long you been out of nursery class?"
Now the storyteller in David kicks in. Because Saul said, "Young man, you know that giant down there? He's been a man of war since his youth. You're but a youth." He said, "Oh, I'll take it from here," he told the soldier. "Hey, King, one time there was a bear come rumbling out of the forest, took a lamb out of the flock. I chased that rascal down, hit him upside the head with a slingshot. Pulled that lamb out of his mouth and told him, 'Don't you ever come around here again.' Now, I gave the polite version. I didn't give the one where he ripped his jaws open and left his intestines all over the ground." And then he said, "I tell you one to beat that one. A lion came out one time." Now, you can imagine Saul. He's not slouched. Now, he's like, "Well, he may look young, but he sure is a good storyteller." He might get his head chopped off, but at least we're going to have a good time watching it. I Tad did the same thing to that lion. I'm going to tell you something, King. That big old boy down there, the same God that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the bear shall deliver me out of the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. Now, watch. Do you notice something here? To me, this is one of the greatest glimpses of the cross in the New Testament. No wonder Jesus is called affectionately, poetically, and correctly the Son of David, because he has the ministry of the cross in the Old Testament. What was it, or who was it, that the bear and the lion took out of the flock? A lamb, not David. But David knew the lamb couldn't fight for itself. So he went and said, excuse me, bear, lamb, you come over here. I'm going to be a mediator between the lamb and the bear. You fight me, not the lamb. Don't tell people you got the spirit of David just because you can do this. And you got a rotten attitude. And you got a malicious spirit. And you got an envious eye on your brother and sister's blessing. Or you got a judgmental spirit so quick to find fault with somebody. That was not David. David didn't walk around in the tent of Saul going, hey, how come your Delta Force ain't down there taking care of this guy? And how come my brothers that have been lifting weights for 15 years and were a part of the wrestling team, how come they're not down there? He wasn't walking around with a blame game attitude. No, he was just saying, look, maybe my brothers are too weak to understand that if God is for us, who can be against us? I'm willing to go down and fight the giant. I'm willing to go down and put everything on the line. That's the real spirit of David. Because you know what? There might be a day when your faith has collapsed and you're too weak to pick up the sword and you need a David to come and fight for you. Hey, that's why I want to give mercy, because I want it back. I don't want to go around dispensing judgment. I'm too afraid I'll get judgment. I'd rather have the mercy of God in my life. Be seated for a moment. So I'm telling you, man, he's excited. So now we're going to fast forward a little bit more. David, you understand, he couldn't wear the armor of Saul. He wouldn't go as an imitation. He had to go as an original. I can't carry your sword, and I can't walk in your gifts. I got to go in what I know how to do. This is what God's going to use me in my personality. I'm going. So he gets his bag, his shepherd's bag, and he's got a slingshot, and he goes down and stops by the creek and reaches into the cool waters, gets 5 smooth stones, puts it in his shepherd's bag, and heads out to the battle. When he gets out there, he's surveying the army, looking at the giant. The giant hadn't even noticed him yet until he gets a little bit closer. That's what he did right there. He went, he had one of them Santa Claus laughters. Ho, ho, ho. Oh, am I a dog? David wasn't laughing. I could just see David, for the first time in his life, he's not doing this or this. He's just standing there. And then he speaks. Hey, big mouth. I know you got a sword and a spear and a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. I believe at that moment, chiffon clouds started to move across the buttery horizon, and the wind swept across the desert floor like an exhalation, a sigh of God. Finally, I've got somebody who trusts me. And while the giant is poking fun at him, David is just saying, I'm going to feed your flesh to the fowls of the air. You notice that the very announcement that the giant made is the one that David picks up and said, oh, no, 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 don't throw that thing at me. It's coming back at you, brother. You going down, giant, and it's your flesh. I know the devil has intended to send the vultures your way, but everything designed and spoken by the devil to destroy you, God reverses it back on the enemy, and it's the vultures that end up going to the camps of darkness. But wait, wait, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Be seated for a moment. And so David's ready. David's ready. He gets that slingshot and he takes the leather straps of it, the thongs of it, and wraps it around his fingers tight. He knows how to use it. One smooth stone, puts it in the pouch, and he starts to run. You can hear the crunching of the sand beneath his rhythmic steps. He's in harmony with heaven now, and he's whoo, whoo. Pause that for a moment as we go up into the bleachers where the Philistines are sitting. They're all decked out. Man, I'm telling you, they have laid 100-1 odds on Goliath. He's never lost. They're having a party. Whoa, Goliath's going to take them down, brother. And they're, you know, you can see vendors walking through. Israeli on a stick. I'll have one over here with a root beer. I'm telling you, they're just having a blast. Meanwhile, David's running. And he digs his heels in, slides just a bit till he comes to a stop. And he snaps that wrist. And God's intercontinental ballistic missile comes soaring out of that pouch. Shh. Here's Goliath. Look, here's Goliath. The Philistines up in the bleachers. Man, isn't this great? Zach, man, what? Like a chain reaction, one by one, jaws unhinged, eyes bugging out. What's wrong with Goliath? A little old man with a long white beard and rosy red cheeks leaning on an apple red cane shuffles over. Looks to me like he's stoned. And all of a sudden, if we'd have been there, I know one of us would have said, "Timber!" And here it goes. When he hit the ground, it was 6.5 on the Richter scale. Clouds of dust rolled up around his body, but David wasn't done yet because we ain't just knocking him down. We getting ready to cut his head off. I want a certain notice to every spirit of Balaam, Cain, Korah, and Judas coming against the congregation of the righteous here in the city of Birmingham. You can bring your giants, you can bring your attackers, you can bring your accusers, but we ain't just going to knock you down. We're going to take the sword of the Lord. We're going to take the word of God. We're going to take the prophecies that he's given us, and we're going to cut you off. We're going to cut you off. We're going to cut it off. Oh, take a moment and rejoice. Take a moment and rejoice. Take a moment and rejoice. God's on our side. We can't be defeated. David is rising up in victory. The underestimated one, the overlooked one, the doubted one. But here it comes, the young one with faith in God. See, this is why some of you, every time the pastor talks about soul winning and great revival, you look down the row at somebody else. Oh, yeah, that's going to be Sister So-and-so because she prays 4 hours a day and fasts 5 days a week. And that's going to be Brother So-and-so because he's got 1,500 Bible studies he's teaching by tomorrow night. I'm going to tell you, God gets the most glory when he goes against hell's most talented with the church's least expected. See, they've used it as a sports headline for years. If there's a team that's got 100-1 odds against them playing a team that should absolutely decimate them and they end up winning somehow, they'll have David slays Goliath. They've used that and used that. The deal is David never was the underdog. How could he be eliminated by the heathen when he's been anointed by heaven? Now you have to understand, child of God, your destiny is greater than your dilemma. In chapter 16, David was anointed to be king. In chapter 17, he's still a shepherd. The oil has poured.
He's not a king yet. That means all Goliath is a class project in the school of anointing. David was one of the first ones to teach the New Testament church. My trouble today is my testimony tomorrow. My trauma right now. God's going to make it a treasure, and the whole world's going to see the glory of God. Be seated just for a few more moments. So old David, he's not finished. He runs over there. Notice a little bit earlier in the text, he couldn't even put on the armor of Saul. He couldn't pick up Saul's sword. But now he's in the spirit. You can do things in the spirit you can't do in the flesh. He's over picking up the sword of Goliath, the heaviest one in the land. Props his foot up on the chest of that knocked out, now dead giant. Reaches down and grabs that old slimy, bloody, muddy hair. Picks up that head. Lifts up the sword. And Israel goes wild. They're hopping out of hiding places. They're jumping on the backs of horses. They're going nuts down into the valley, pulling swords out of scabbards. They're chasing the Philistines all over the land because the one young man got a revelation. We're just a stone's throw from victory. If we'll go with God, we ain't far from a miracle. If we'll go with God, my family's going to be saved. My business is going to rise up. Prosperity will come to the child of God. Lift up your hands and thank him right now. Shandoria mahandele. Kando shahandre. Rindo yamaha shahatala bahaya. Ayamamamoho shatalala bahaya. My God. La 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 mokonda bahaya. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I want you to be seated for a moment, because the ones I want to stand right now, if you are in a situation where you feel like your faith has been diminished, you don't know what to do about it, and the enemy's making you feel like you're too inferior to overcome it, I want you to stand. If you're fighting a situation right now that you're trying to find faith and you're trying to find something, it's confusion, it's depression, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Now, while you're standing, I want to tell you something the Lord showed me last night, and I wanted to speak it last night, but he didn't permit me to. But I'm going to speak it tonight. I saw, as it were, a life vest, only a life vest in the sense of the key word being buoyant, on the bottom of a sea, and there were chains holding it down. And I thought it would be, because usually when God gives me an illustrative word like that, it's for an individual, but I realized it was for a number of people, because the chains were holding this down. You're usually a buoyant personality. But there's been a heaviness lately. The heaviness is not of your nature, just as the chains were not really the life vest. That's not who you are, but something's holding you down. Let's worship God, church. Rise up, faith. I speak to that buoyancy in the spirit that's been held down. Break the chains. If you've acted out of character lately, break the chains. If things have been happening, if you've lost confidence where you used to have great confidence, If you're starting to have trouble in areas where you've never had trouble before, realize what it is taking place. This is not your character. It may be one bad storm, but it's not the climate of who you are as a person. You refuse to be held down by the accusation of that enemy. You refuse to be bound by a past that's trying to come back to haunt you. And usually when you're very jovial in your personality, maybe lately you've been heavy, but we're going to break the chains so you can rise back to the surface of who you really are in the kingdom of God. Now, it might fit for some of you standing. It might fit for some of you sitting. But if the word I just gave fits for you, I want you to throw up your hands toward God right now and say, devil, do you hear me? I come against this thing that is not of me. I come against this attitude that is not of me. I come against this depression because I am not a depressed person. I'm jovial, joyful. I'm usually a life of a party. But somehow lately I've been drugged down by circumstance. But in the name, God have mercy. Hondosha, somebody get it right now. Somebody, yeah. Somebody break the chain right now. Somebody break the chain right now. Somebody break the chain. Break the chains. Break the chains. I won't be held here. I'm rising up in the Holy Ghost right now. Right now. Atore atoyala mabahaya. God. Woo! Atela maya nana maha. Anamo shatola mohoya. Atela neneheya. Atoyondo sahaya. Ah, mahotori andeheya. Andelanamo shaha. Ikandelanamahaya. God. Woo! Friend, the Holy Ghost is going to give you rest. I feel in the spirit there's been restlessness. A lot of ideas, a lot of energy spent, and I know what kind of work you do because I've sat with you and talked. But this is something in the Holy Ghost here. God's going to help you get the adequate rest that you need. Yeah, Lord. Rindo shandahai. Katenono shahai. Rindo hoye. Hayamaha shondeya. Ando ukasha atayelenaye kohoya mamaha. You see, my son, saith the Lord, I've made you fruitful in this thing, but you shall be greatly fruitful in another thing. My time, saith the Lord, shall come. My anointing shall flow. Do not be afraid and do not feel rushed. I'll take you step by step. Enjoy what you do now, but what you do literally shall one day help you figuratively. Spiritually. Linduria mashande rando kosha. See, you put things together. The Holy Ghost says you're going to put lives together. Shande okande mo shahandea rando yamaha. Come on, church. Let's rise up in the Holy Ghost. Let's rise up. Somebody, you feel that buoyancy? You feel it rising up? Come on, it's like that life vest. I'm going back where I belong. I'm going back to a realm of faith. If you feel like getting out in the aisle and dancing a little bit, I already know you're used to doing that. Go ahead and do it again tonight. Say, I'm rising up. My faith is rising up. My faith is rising up. God's getting ready to use me in a mighty way for the kingdom of God. My God, God, God. Hey, Lord. Yela basonde la la manan de heya. Brother, I see you on the other end of a rope, like a tug of war, and you're all by yourself. And I see it's like, I don't know if I got the number right, but it's like there's 15 people on the other side pulling against you. And you've been trying for years to convince them, come this way. They've been pulling and pulling and pulling. But all of a sudden, it's like the wind started blowing. And these folks got distracted from what they were doing, and you just kept pulling because you stayed focused. There's a shift coming. A crisis that's going to bring them to the cross. You just keep pulling because I see you almost about ready to let go and say, I just can't fight them anymore. They're not going to give in anymore. But the Holy Ghost is saying, just keep pulling. Reinforcement in the Spirit's coming. And it's going to shift, and they're going to come your direction. They go, Ande Oshandaba. Yindo Yosharendo. I don't know if it's his family or friends or a combination of both, but in the name of Jesus, take strength in the Holy Ghost tonight. Be anointed with the Spirit of David to fight against impossible odds. In the name God. Brother, I'm telling you, I see two rows of them standing right here talking in tongues. Just don't give up. Don't give up. Usually when there's a tug of war like that, that means there's real spiritual warfare. Keep fighting. This is like Daniel. You know, he prayed 21 days. Where's my help? Where's my help? And what the angel tell him? The spirit of Persia resisted me. I heard you the first day. God heard you the first day. But I feel like we're just a stone's throw now. In Jesus' name. I agree with you in Jesus' name. Come on, church. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Ooh. Are you okay? Can you handle about 10 more minutes? Then I don't know. I only go as far when I feel the Holy Ghost shut off the valve. I'm done. I'm not a psychic. I wouldn't want to be a psychic. This way I know it's God. Because if God speaks to me, I know it's him. In Jesus' name, lift your hands to the Holy Ghost. Praise God. This sister right here, right there. Yes, you, right here. Yeah, no, you, right here. Would you stand up? Oh, this is simple. But when I looked at you in the Holy Ghost, it's like I saw a pattern with a lot of black threads in it. Bitterness, sorrow, a lot of disappointments. But I saw the silver lining. I know that's an adage we use and it's overused, but it's the Holy Ghost speaking. Arendo Shandela, lift your hands to God. The pattern's going to change, lady. Somebody lay hands on her right now in the name of Jesus. Let an angel of you're about to get touched by an angel of encouragement right now. Rindo, yeah. Feel it all over. Ah, no, no, no. Yeah, Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Somebody shout, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Come on, yeah, Holy Ghost. Yeah, Holy Ghost. Go ahead, God. Lift your hands and worship God in Jesus' name. Woo. I feel his holiness. I feel his presence here. Just wait on the Lord. Unless I feel the Holy Ghost downloading something into my spirit, I won't speak just to do it. We follow God in the name of Jesus. It's not about flesh anyway. No flesh or glory in his presence. If I give you a word tonight, please don't glory in me and glory in flesh. Thank God for using anything to get a message to you. I feel like there's some healing taking place. Physical healing. I feel like there's physical without even announcing what it is. Sometimes God likes to do a miracle without man even necessarily knowing what it is, so we can walk around and brag about we were the ones that did it. God just does it right now. Amen. Let the reports come in this week. Pastor Sutton, you won't believe this. I went to the doctor this week, and you know that situation I've had, that problem? I don't have it no more. God's healed it. God's touched it. Lift your hands all over this congregation and believe God for healing in your body. You're the healer, Jesus. You're the healer, Jesus. You're the healer, Jesus. We trust your word in your name tonight, Jesus. Rindo konde la ha shando hoya. Hando ya la rema shonde la ha ya. Josh, there's some things in the Holy Ghost. There's some things that have been in a holding pattern. Yeah, Lord. It's just circling and circling and circling. You've kept busy, but God's getting ready to take you out of the holding pattern. Get your landing gear out. Sometimes the preparation is there and the promise is given. It's just the precision of timing that we're waiting on. And the timing of the Holy Ghost. Church, let's worship God together. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's some young ladies here. I'm not because I know the ones that are playing, but that's even fine. There's some other young ladies here that are wanting to be used in instruments. If you're 21 and younger and you're feeling something here, I want you to come stand right here in Jesus' name. Come stand. Come on, don't miss it. Come stand right here. You've been feeling something? Yeah? Okay. Praise God. Do you play anything now? What do you play? Okay. Who's the young lady up here is playing with? No, I know you. You're a protege. Okay, right here. Just when you get up here, hold both hands out. Is it all piano? Is it any other instrument? Just come stand right here. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. There's something that I feel like God's been trying to do in the United Pentecostal Church, and that is raise up a new breed of musician. Those that play led of the Spirit. In fact, why don't you come on down here, Sister Lindsay? Because this, I feel like this is on you, and it can flow from you into others. In Jesus' name, just stand right here and just hold your hands out in the name of Jesus. Hold your hands out in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about a new breed of musician. It's the kind that God intended in the very beginning, the one that Lucifer messed up on. And that is that they weren't just singers and worshipers and worship leaders. They were prophetic. I'm talking about at times when they would walk to instruments and begin to play things that had never been rehearsed. Things that come by the work and the power of the Spirit. I'm praying for every one, every set of hands stretched out, starting with Sister Lindsay. In the name of Jesus, let it flow down, God, to every girl here that's reaching. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Akonde, ahande, ando yande ha kato. God, put a spirit of David on them. Put a spirit of David on them, God, until there are surfaces. When it doesn't go according to plan, they begin to play in the Spirit, just like we talk in tongues. And we say words we've never said before. They're going to play things that have never been played before. In the name. God, have mercy. Can you listen to me for a moment? Can you tell me how powerful it would be if from right here, just lost in the spirit, one of these young ladies, Sister Lindsay and others, started singing words in the Holy Ghost that started breaking down sinners' hearts, backslider spirits. I'm telling you, that's the will of God in the end time generation. Now, I'm not, you know, keep all your sheet music and keep all of the recordings and things you learn, because I think you got to practice. Young ladies, listen to me for a moment. Don't expect God to give you a gift if you ain't going to put the time into it. You're going to have to put the discipline. If this is what you want, God will anoint your hands, but don't sit down and be willing, not willing to discipline yourself to put your time in. But I feel in the Holy Ghost, if you put your time in and follow the leadership of what's happening in the spirit here in this church, this assembly, you're going to be amazed at what comes out of the youth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. See, that was one of the insults that Saul gave David. That giant down there is a man of war from his youth. You're but a youth. So see, sometimes we tell our young people, now we don't mind the world using young people. They got them on their football teams and their baseball teams, and they got them in their marching bands. And they got them in their all kinds. You know what I'm saying? They're using them. That's like what he was saying about, well, Goliath has been used since he was a kid, and you're but a kid. It was somewhat of a contradiction. You need to say, I'm young, but I'm used for the kingdom of God. Lift your hands to the Lord and pray again in Jesus' name. Stretch your hand. If this is your child down here, reach your hand out toward them and say, God, touch my daughter tonight in the name of the Lord. Put that spirit of prophecy on them. Put that spirit of David on them till they get lost in the spirit, playing this instrument for God, not for fanfare, not for credit, not to be seen, not to gain attention, but to give glory to the name, to the name which is above every name. You're a healer, Jesus. You're the healer, Jesus. Strengthen. Strengthen. Ikando rama shande kete. Shande la la kotolo ronde ahahaya. Shande la kando sote la mahayina. He ayo ogomo hushena rara hakena na hayino hosha. Sotoro da rahata kahata haya. Adarolo hosha haya. Jesus. Ika na yishiko na yekana ashikota hana. Shina na yekana yishikena he. He shina na naiko na yishite. He tora mo shandelelero na yeso kamai. If you've been suffering with an ongoing ailment, lift your hands to God. In Jesus' name. Lord, out of suffering, let your sovereignty be seen. Let your grace be seen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just reach over there. Some of you already are. Reach over and begin to pray for one another. Pray for one another. If you find yourself interceding, praying in tongues for somebody, stay there a few moments. Stay there. More than what you could speak to them in an articulate, understood English word, if you could begin to pray for them in the spirit right now, it will do more good for them. Go ahead. There it is. Let that flow out. Let that flow out. Healing. Healing. Lendoranda shanda kandelehea. Shatala la maranda la kaya moho shahaya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Woo. Woo. If you're here tonight, listen, don't stop praying. If you're here tonight and the Holy Ghost is trying to get you to submit to Him, to surrender to Him, do that. Lift your hands where you are right now and surrender. 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 Don't reserve. Don't stay at a religious distance. If this is not what you're used to, even the Pharisees, when they watched Jesus operate, they would walk away saying, "We've seen strange things today." Don't let the strange cause you to be hardened. Soften, tenderize your spirit toward the Word of God tonight. And say, "Lord, whatever you want for my life, whatever you want to do in my life tonight, I'm willing. I'm willing to confess." If there's a backslider that needs to pray through, come to the altar. God can do multiple things at once. He's still ministering to the body. Ooh. There's so many things happening in the spirit right now. Just stay in it, stay in it, stay in it. Kaye la maha yeno koshande alahandre. Oh God. Hilalakota. I want everybody that can quickly. Move down to the front like a close-knit family. Come in as close as you can. I want you to come with your voice raised in a spirit of prayer. In a spirit, some of you are already there. Let's lift our voices. Lift it up. Turn up the volume of that intensity and intercession that you feel. There are many battlefronts, many beachheads of the enemy being stormed. From these prayers tonight, angelic forces going forth. Do your work, Holy Ghost. We band together again, united, the people of God, born of spirit, washed in blood, authorized by the name to pray as we are praying now. In the name of Jesus, God began to send forth conviction to places, areas, and families. Souls and sinners, God, that have been defiant, indifferent. Stir them, stir them, stir them up, God, stir them up, God. Rikonde la landeheya, atonde ahashahai.
blah, 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 blah.